This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Hello again and welcome to the Referee's World podcast, the monthly audio magazine which offers education and training for football referees of all levels. My name's Darren Cullum. I'm a level 5 referee affiliated with Somerset FA. This is Rich Mellon, who's FA level 4 tutor, PGMLO assessor and level 4 coach. And we've got a special guest who we'll be speaking to in just a moment. Rich, hello.
Hello, Darren.
Should we get straight on with the guest? Because he can ramble.
Yeah, he does ramble.
Nice as a man who rambles for a profession. Yeah. Let's welcome onto the podcast. Delighted to have FA Regional Coordinator for Development of Referees here in the South West. It's Martin Cassidy, or otherwise known as Scouse. Martin!
Hello, chaps. I'll try to put my best telephone voice on so there's no need for subtitles.
It'll all go wrong in the next few minutes once he's relaxed
into
it.
I'm sure it will.
Listen, Martin, great to get you on the podcast at last. Eventually, I know you're a busy man. For those that don't know who you are, what your background is, just explain a bit about your role. But first, tell us about how you eventually started off as a referee and how you went up through the system.
Ooh, I started refereeing after I was doing a line, actually, as a club assistant referee. And a man quite well known in Somerset, Alan Cumner, was refereeing. I was suspended from playing due to getting sent off and wanted to keep fit. And he seemed to think I did a good performance as an assistant referee and approached me and said, "You should take up the line." I said, "Well, I reckon I could do a better job than you." Cheeky so-and-so I was. So he took me up on the challenge and he chased me. And being a typical Scouser, not one to shy away from a challenge, I went and did the referee's course and thought give it a season. And then really enjoyed it and just carried on going. I had we didn't really have mentors then, unfortunately, but I had the support of Dave Brammer, who's an ex-Premier League referee and a good friend, and he showed me through, and I went through, and then I got onto the national list as an assistant referee. Was on there for 7 years, then had to retire to injury. Then I got a job with the FA as a development coach for the South West for level 3s and level 2b's. Finished that last August, and I do the coordinator's job for the South West Regional Development Group, which is a brilliant job, very lucky to have it. Looking after level 4s from Gloucestershire, Somerset, Devon, Cornwall, Wiltshire and Dorset. Some good talent in there, with the help of the guy in the studio there who does some coaching for us, Richard Mellon.
He's blushing.
Yeah. No, I don't blush, mate. Yeah.
You're absolute valuable asset to the whole area, and it's a privilege to have you as a colleague and friend.
Thanks, mate.
Martin, very quickly, what would you say has been your highlight in your refereeing career so far?
Refereeing career? I like the idea early on where there's a team I used to play against and I hated them, detested them. And by pure coincidence, they were my first game to referee and I was really, really nervous. And when I walked in, they all started saying, "God, he must be playing for them now." And then when I told them as a referee, they couldn't believe it. And did the game, everything went well. And after the game, they looked at me very differently. Because before, I was very much an enemy. And I had just a different sort of response from the players, and that gave me the bug that carries me on to this day, of wanting to get, you know, a connection and a relationship with players that really helps you enjoy the game. And that was totally stuck in my mind.
And it's good character building as well. And this is something that Rich and I talk about quite a lot on the podcast, about how it can really make you come out of a shell, being a referee.
Yeah, it can.
Not that you need to come out of a shell, mate.
No, not really. Oh, I smashed that shell up here, I think.
You need to be locked up back in a shell. That was shell, not cell, by the way. Listen, over to Rich, because I know Rich has got a few things he'd like to ask you.
I want to talk to you, Mark, for the benefit of our listeners, and we've got listeners all over the world that hinge on training topics and how we can help them develop their career through refereeing. What's as you're the FA regional coordinator for the Level 4 Academy in the South West, what's flavour of the month with you?
Well, with me, which is something we've talked about with yourself and other coaches in the area, is having a philosophy that we put down to a word called HOP, and it's honesty, openness and professionalism. And we developed this with the coaches about trying to put a package together built around some fundamentals. And the hop is, like I said, honesty. Being honest with yourself about your own performance. If you can do things better, we can always strive to be better. And to be open with criticism, open with good advice, open towards development by players, secretaries, of course, assessors, coaches and mentors. And of course, just being professional. And professionalism being about knowing everything and being a craftsman of your trade. It's just about behaving in a certain manner and being professional and businesslike. If those three are in place, that really gives you a good chance of moving forward in our game.
Martin, just a quick question here. Sorry to interrupt, but
no problem, mate.
Is this hop, is this something that's just been introduced locally in the Southwest, or is this something that's happening all over the country?
No, this is something we've worked on locally. We just worked on in the Southwest by talking to people like Rich and other people like Dave Brammer and a guy in Deepest Cornwall called Jim McCaffrey, who's at X Level 3. And we've also privileged to have Roger Milford as one of our coaches as well, who's a great asset.
The Silver Fox, the Mighty Fox himself.
Mighty Fox, you know, what a great asset he is to the area, having someone who's done the FA Cup final, you know, helping coach referees at lower level. You know, it's brilliant role model for our game. And we just wanted, you know, we just got together and just tried to build a fundamental thought process to how to approach our game. And it's something we're trying out between ourselves. Hopefully we can run it past, you know, the people above us, and if they like it, then maybe we can just use it as a small direction in our development of referees.
Well, we know that the people above, at the top, they do listen to the podcast, and we know that people, as Rich has already alluded to the fact that people listen all over the world, not only just in the country, and, you know, hearing you come on and talk about this, it may certainly ring a few bells in people's ears to develop this even further, Rich.
Well, like I say, we're not reinventing the wheel here as referee development people, but HOP has got a big part to play for everybody anywhere in football and in sport generally, if we want to apply it like that. But focusing on the foundations that you described, Mark, just highlight a couple of things in the areas what we've described as H for honesty.
We do a lot with self-assessment, and self-assessment is something that some people aren't keen on self-assessment, but I, and I know you do, Rich, as well, think it's a valuable tool for the development.
Can you just define self-assessment for those who may not be that clear?
Yes, thanks, that's a good point. Well, the self-assessment is, you know, you do a report similar to an assessment. You try to fill in the categories that were in the form, and discuss what you think you could have done better and describe the game. Don't do it as a commentary, do it as an honest assessment of, you may pick out a scenario such as a caution, and you may have felt that you could have done your caution in a more professional manner, a better technique. You could have, you know, talked about things, maybe I should have turned my body more so the benches or the technical areas can see how I'm cautioning the player and what I'm trying to say with non-verbal communications. And then just talking about, you know, do you really feel you could have done better? And if so, what in? And sitting there, actually, going back to what Dave Brammer is my mentor, he said to me once at a referee's meeting, the biggest thing he ever did coming through on his own, remember he was a Premier League assistant referee, he used to go to the pub on the way home and have a glass of lemonade and think about his performance. So he was a natural self-assessor, and look what he got. And this is years ago, you know, not that Dave Brown was that old, but he was naturally self-assessing, which develops yourself in your language and your thought processes. And that's why we think it's very valuable. If you're honest with yourself, then the only way is to move forward.
Can we just transfer the self-assessment idea to that of someone that would be in the role of a mentor? How would that transfer? Because you highlighted Dave as self-assessing in those early days back in the 90s. Now with the modern support systems that we have in place, how would we use that as regards honesty between a referee and a mentor, Mark?
Well, when we see some of the self-assessments that come through, again, you might talk about an all-round performance of what they could do better and summarise it. But most importantly, they will look at their performance in almost every part of their game. And what you find is that some referees are honest enough to say they didn't prepare well. So you can focus on your preparation for the game and therefore develop with them. You could go back with the self-assessments. You normally do it by email, send it to you on a Word document or whatever it's in. And then you reply back and say, look, this is what you've put in your self-assessments under match control or under whatever categories in there. What do you think about this? And then the mentor or coach will be honest enough to go back and say, do you think this worked? Do you think this will work? And have a comparison of what happened to what could happen.
There's a value of sharing things there, isn't there, Mark?
Very much so, mate. Very much so. And using that experience of mentors, which people need to understand, that a mentor is very different to a coach. A mentor is a bit of a distance aid. You know, you could be a mentor from anywhere in the world. And obviously, like you said, but the podcasts being, you know, something that's worldwide, I think a mentor is on the end of the phone or an email and having that contact by distance. But as a coach, it will be someone that goes out, views your performance and reports back accordingly.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, mate, let's move on to the middle part of HOP and the openness. Define how openness plays a part and what part it does actually play.
Well, this is what we think is the interesting part, don't we, Rich? Because people can pretend to be open. People can sit there and say all the right things. And they say things that they might think the mentor or coach or assessor really wants to hear. But you can only get away with that for so long. And if you're open enough to go, do you know what, I'll put my hands up here. Do you need help in that department? I could do better in that department. And open yourself up to accept the advice and the guidance of mentors, coaches, assessors, sometimes even secretaries and, you know, heaven forbid, even players can be right at some point in the game.
Of course players are going to be right at some point.
Yeah, particularly from the bench. They're always right from the bench. And I think just having that open-minded approach that really, even at all levels, we haven't always got the answers. And being open to those that advice and criticism, in inverted commas, is something that will always help you.
I think we focus on, Mark, and we've been doing it recently with the group, is listen to all the messages. Maybe some of the messages are a little bit sort of harsh and unnecessary, but somewhere in those messages there is something that needs to be considered. You know, even if the technical areas shout out something, how many more referee? How many more? You know, there's a message in there because maybe the referee is missing something.
Well, in my experience, coaching and mentoring, even as far back as the days when we used to go to Holland together with a group of referees, Rich, you do find that tying in the honesty and the openness here, you do find that the people that are more honest and open and say, I did get that wrong, I could do with more help in that department, seem to develop much more quicker than people that don't embrace those parts of HOP.
Yeah.
It's astonishing, really. You see some people flower, and obviously, you know, we've got to consider personalities and sometimes even occupations in this form of development, because people work in different environments, and some people could be a docker and they're all kinds of industrial language every day, and they need to know that that isn't acceptable on the field of play. And you could get some people that don't hear that from 9 to 5 in an office, which maybe have got a bit of a thinner skin when any Anglo-Saxon expletive seems to get punished.
Yeah, it's good points, mate. Good points. And finally, P for professionalism. Define that for us, mate.
People can misconstrue professionalism from two ways. One, they can think, you know all the answers and you're professional and you're an expert in your field, but that's not what we mean. We need about, you know, being businesslike and being professional, you know, showing and creating the image that's expected from the level of football you're at. You know, sometimes, you know, it's great to be in the right attire, a nice suit, shirt and tie. Sometimes a polo shirt, a smart polo shirt with an RA badge on or a county badge on, a pair of trousers is just acceptable at the lower levels coming through. Sometimes you've seen it, Rich, you know, the guys are turning off, you know, paying £3 or £4 a game subs, and the referees in a you know, £100 suit turn up for the game, it sometimes doesn't quite fit in. And although it's good and professional, isn't
that can actually have an adverse effect on you as a referee, can't you? Because you've nailed it there. They pay their £3 subs to come and play a game of football on a Saturday or a Sunday, and then you rock up in your Armanis, all suited and booted, and they probably just think, oh, hang on a minute, you know, we've got a player here, we're going to give him some jip, kind of thing.
No, very, very true. And it equates to cars as well. I see at some level where guys turn up in really expensive cars compared to some of the players that they're refereeing. And sometimes it just gives an image that maybe we haven't really thought about. Not saying it's right, not saying it's wrong, but it's just making people aware of the professionalism for the game you're at, and creating an environment to build bridges and create connection before you even go out on the field to play to do a pre-match warm-up or a pre-match inspection.
And another thing you can also add to the professionalism, Martin, is obviously the time in which you turn up, the dealings with the clubs prior to the game of football itself as well. And it all helps to help you as the referee build the bigger picture as well.
No, very, very, absolutely spot on that. And I remember clearly watching a game once, it was a FA Cup qualifier, and I was watching one of the guys, and the referee was having quite a good game, and you know, it was smooth, controllable, and professionalism. But all the assessor, the secretary talked about, pardon me, was he never confirmed his game. Do you know, I had to chase him this morning, you know, when I've got enough to do to find out if he was coming.
Cardinal sin.
Absolutely.
The office work and all that stuff is equally, and we talk about this quite a bit, Rich, don't we? Is the fact that you could be the best referee on the field, but if your admin is not up to date, you're not going to go anywhere.
No, you're right. And again, we've said similar about you know, people can view people. You can view a Picasso, and we could all see what's wrong with a Picasso. We can say, look, oh, the eye's a bit higher than the other one, but we couldn't really paint a Picasso, could we? And when you've got someone turning up for the game, and he's presenting this picture in front of himself, but he hasn't done any preparation, he hasn't framed it in a nice professional manner, he's just maybe turning up with the wrong dress code.
It's a great analogy, that.
Martin Cassidy, God, you're top notch.
If anyone was going to come out with an analogy like that, it would have to be Martin.
I'll tell you something, these guys that are listening to the podcast on the treadmill at the moment, they've just hit the stop button.
Yeah.
Probably through laughing, thinking that man's. But you know, it's true. And we said before, and I remember when I first said this, we were talking to Rich, and you know, so much respect for Rich, and I run a lot past that man. We said about, you know, when you're playing football and you're refereeing football, people deliver a performance that should be appropriate to that level. It's no use giving someone an a la carte meal when they're used to having fast food. Just give them the best fast food they've ever had.
Brilliant.
And that's where people can sometimes be missed out. You can see a very professional performance. You can put in strategies, procedures, positioning sense that they would use on a Premiership, and you could use that on the park, at Bristol Downs or Hutton Moor around here in Western Tip and there. But you wouldn't really get the benefits of it because the level of football, skill of football, doesn't quite blend in and match that level of performance as a referee.
Yeah. Well, Mark, the bite-size chunks of the podcast have almost been exhausted here. Now, you, with your wisdom and all your a massive amount of knowledge, you're outstanding in your field, and you've heard me say that many, many times.
Where's the gummage?
Yeah, I know. Where are we going? In signing off, what messages would you like to send out to all our listeners? If you have, let me say, 60 seconds.
I would say, I think it's a gift to be a match official. And I think it's a privilege to be out. I know it doesn't feel that way when we're out there and we might be getting shouted at, and there might be, you know, not a very good pitch and not a very good facilities, but it's absolute privilege to get out there and control a game. And there's nothing better than coming off and everyone's shaking your hands, you've still got a smile on your face, and you can go afterwards and have a cup of tea and a sandwich and a chat about the game. Yet we're always going to hit that wall. Every one of us, you two in that studio, will say there's been a time more than once where you wanted to pack in because something's happened. But they're always, always outweighs by having a pleasurable, enjoyable afternoon.
It is. It's all built up for the Saturday afternoon, isn't it? Martin, before you go, we like to ask all our guests this, because it's always nice to hear everybody's match incidents. Is there a match incident in your refereeing career that you can look back on now and laugh and share with us on the podcast?
Yes. Contrary to what popular belief of me with advantage, I always think, you know, advantage is you need to cherish it. Before I was getting educated by people in the game at the time, I will play advantage at the drop of a hat. I will play everywhere. And I played an advantage on a guy who'd been fouled. He's quite a vociferous guy, was always on my back about everything I did. And he was on the floor, and I put my arm out to try and set up the challenge. And as I put my arm out, I poked him in the eye. And his friend was clear through on goal. It was a bloody good advantage, actually. He was clear through, but I panicked and blew the whistle to try and say sorry to this guy. I've just poked him in the eye as he's sitting on the floor. Which made it worse, because he said, what are you stopping it for? We're clear through on goal. So that was quite funny.
Oh, dear. Mark, absolutely brilliant.
Listen, it's been an absolute pleasure, Martin. We'd love to get you back on the podcast again at some point. And, thanks for being our guest this evening.
Dan, it's a privilege. And you two boys have done something quite unique here. And it's a brilliant conduit for learning all over the world. And well done for your forward thinking and your commitment of another night out and doing stuff like this. And well done, guys. Well done.
Thanks a lot, Martin.
Thanks very much, Mark.
Take care, guys.
This is the Referees World Podcast.
Our guest on the Referees World Podcast, FA Regional Coordinator for Referee Development in the Southwest, Martin Cassidy. Rich, what can we say? I like you say, bite size all wound up. I think Martin's had the last word on this one today. So don't forget, if you want to have a listen to the Referees World Podcast, you can do this many ways, either online at the website, refereesworld.co.uk. You can search us out on iTunes as well. Just search for Referees World and we'll be back soon.
From grassroots to the World Cup. This is the Referees World Podcast with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellin.